Journey to Wellness in Indian Country is funded in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund. Joining us on the phone this morning is Darlene St. Clair. She's a faculty professor of American Indian Studies, and she's part of a fascinating project that is bringing Dakota curriculum to Minnesota school kids so that they can get an idea as they study the history of Minnesota about a fairly important part of Minnesota history. It's called the Minnesota Makoche Curriculum. Darlene, good morning, and thanks so much for joining us.
Good morning to you.
Nice to have you along with us this morning. So tell us a little bit, first of all, has the curriculum actually been implemented yet?
Yeah, we're in an evaluation phase right now, so we are working with a few schools throughout the state that are implementing the curriculum, and we're doing an evaluation project to measure the impacts of the curriculum on students.
Now, let's take a step backwards. One of the things that your partner in working on this project, and that's Dr. Heather Peters of the University of Minnesota Duluth, or Morris, one of the things that she had thought about originally, obviously, and that's on the minds of a lot of people, is that suicide is the second leading cause of death for Native American youth ages 10 to 24. And when you've got horrendous statistics like that, you are looking in every possible direction to try to figure out what's contributing to it and what you might be able to do to help. What does it feel like for Native kids to sit in a classroom and sit through, you know, social studies or history classes and just feel like they're really not a part of the quote-unquote prevailing narrative?
And it's true, certainly I think that's one of Heather's impetuses for getting involved in the project. I think I'm also a Dakota person and was a Dakota student in those classrooms in Minnesota as a young person. And I think the invisibility of our experience has all kinds of negative consequences, including the sense of belongingness and feeling like you're included in the story, but also I think it has something to do with our educational achievement gaps.
It feels like
your story is then sort of erased, and that's really one of the core sort of focuses of this curriculum project.
One of the things that this curriculum project that I see looking at it is that it can be nimble in a way that textbooks are not. Unfortunately, I'm old. I don't remember my textbooks in grade school, but I'm certainly guessing that if genocide had been a part of the teaching, that I would have paid attention to it and I might have remembered it. History books are notoriously bad at conveying honestly what happened, at looking at different perspectives. School districts have budgets. These things can't be replaced regularly anyway. And do you have a sense that attitudes are changing about a lot of things, maybe more quickly than textbook manufacturers can keep up with?
Of course. I mean, textbooks are written for sort of the most numbers of schools who will purchase them, so they tend to be generic. There's not going to be many large curriculum projects written about even a single state. This curriculum is implemented in sixth grade in social studies classrooms, and the reason that we've selected sixth grade social studies is that's the same year that you learn about the state history of Minnesota. So it's our desire that as you're learning about the state history of Minnesota, you're also learning about a Dakota experience and it most especially a Dakota relationship to the land. And we really strongly believe that having that lens and examining a Dakota relationship to land as you learn about Minnesota state history will provide the more nuance and sort of a deeper connection to the curriculum for sixth grade students. And that's not just for Native students. We really develop this curriculum with non-Native students in mind.
Well, it's been an interesting conversation to learn on this show, to just sort of have it put out into words, because, of course, many times, if you're part of a dominant culture, it's one of many things that you just take for granted. But histories and textbooks, in many instances, are written from the perspective of a dominant culture. And so for kids to not only learn about a different perspective, but there's going to be there's going to be training in the curriculum for teachers, and there are some first-person perspectives of Dakota youth and adults and elders, and of course, all of our technological advancements make these things so easy and inexpensive to implement.
And I think in terms of, like, where is this effort coming from? It's not coming from a textbook company or a publishing company. It's coming from a regional Native nonprofit called Dakota Wichoha. So this is where the impetus for this project comes from. But we're using all of these tools and these resources that exist for us to create a curriculum that can be never, it doesn't have to be printed. It lives online. We can make changes to it, and teachers who use the curriculum will have the updates without having to cut down a bunch more trees. So, I mean, I think we're using the tools that are available to us to deliver traditional teachings about Dakota relationship to the land.
One of the things that I'm curious about, and I'm wondering your reaction to it, is, of course, up in this part of Minnesota, we have more Ojibwe people than Dakota people. Is it your hope that maybe some Ojibwe people will take on a similar challenge, perhaps, and try to come up with a complementary or a supplementary curriculum in some way?
You know, Ojibwe people have been doing a great job developing resources. And, you know, one of the reasons that this curriculum is so needed at this time is there are mandated state standards in Minnesota that you teach about the Native nations of Minnesota throughout a student's K-12 experience and in different disciplines like language arts and social studies and the arts. So there is a mandate for teachers to teach about both Dakota and Ojibwe people. And those resources, what makes it difficult for teachers to implement that is that in their own teacher preparation programs, especially, you know, of the past, future teachers didn't have that training to teach about the Native nations of Minnesota. So this is a resource that's out there to support teachers in fulfilling state standards. But in addition to that, the standards do require that all students learn about Minnesota and Dakota students. So that means that Dakota students in southern parts of Minnesota should be learning about our Anishinaabe relatives. As well, Ojibwe students in the northern part of the state should be learning about their Dakota relatives. And so this is a curriculum for everyone. And in fact, one of our partner schools in this research portion is Carleton, and we're grateful to have a northern school that's willing to take on this curriculum. One of the things, as somebody who's worked on developing this curriculum, is I could develop with a Ojibwe partner sort of a lesson that would sort of compare and contrast some of these traditional teachings. Because the truth is, many of our Dakota traditional teachings have a very similar expression in Anishinaabe culture as well. And I think that that's sort of a potential future project that I'd love to get involved in.
Well, it sounds really, really exciting. The curriculum sounds fascinating, and what a wonderful experience for all Minnesota kids to broaden their horizons a little bit. I hope we get to kind of track the progress of this and find out how it's going. I hope we have the opportunity to check in with you again, Darlene. Thank you so much for joining us this morning.
Thank you.
Darlene St. Clair, our guest this morning on Journey to Wellness in Indian Country. She's a faculty professor of American Indian Studies, and she's been instrumental in developing the Minnesota Makoche curriculum, which is in kind of a testing phase this year. Journey to Wellness on KUMD is funded in part by the Minnesota Arts and Cultural Heritage Fund.